Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Passover. We've already spoken to a rabbi, and it happens to coincide with Good Friday and Easter this year. And to me, Easter was always, as a Catholic, more important than Christmas. And I know it's not a competition, but if there was no Easter, then Christmas wouldn't really matter. Archbishop Gregory Amon joins us now. Archbishop, I'm not trying to get all tangled up in my words there, but do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I very much understand, and blessings to you, Tommy, and all the listeners on Good Friday.
Thank you, Archbishop, and to you as well, I guess, if I'm supposed to say that. Tell me what the, I guess, what the importance of commemorating Good Friday is to Catholics, and what the message is in terms of redemption and so forth.
Sure. Well, as we know, humanity, as God designed it, went astray. We sinned, and God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the one to reconcile us once again to the Father, and to be the price paid for our sin. As we know, everything has a price, and the price paid for our sinfulness is Jesus' death on the cross, his passion. And so it's really God's way of saying, see how much I loved you, see how much I forgive you, my mercy is in abundance.
It took me a while to get that, Archbishop, I gotta admit, because I think, and I'm not, look, once you become a parent, you realize that, and I know you're not, I'm getting tangled up in it here. What I'm trying to say is that once you have a child, you realize what a sacrifice that would be for somebody to give up the most precious thing in their life to redeem you. And I guess I realized also that you can't earn this. So all you can do is try. Is that accurate?
That's true, and I'm not even sure if it's worth trying. It's gift. You know, God has given us the gift of his Son. His Son suffered to show us how much we're loved and forgiven. And we have to, in our lives, try to embrace that mercy of God. And sometimes, you know, we don't do it so well. Sometimes we don't see it. Other times we don't forgive ourselves, so we don't believe in God's mercy. And Good Friday is an opportunity to unite ourselves to the cross of Jesus and to realize how much we are loved. It's also an opportunity to look at our own crosses and to unite them to the cross of Jesus Christ.
A Gallup poll out, Archbishop, says U.S. church membership down sharply in the past two decades. I get texts from people occasionally that say they don't have to go to church to believe in God. Why is it important that you go to church?
First of all, it's you don't have to go to church to believe in God. That's true. But God also made us as a community, as a family. And by going to church, we have an opportunity not only to be with God, but to be with other people of faith, to encourage one another in faith, to pray for one another in faith. And God designed it in such a way that we not only need him, but we also need one another. And we need one another to encourage us.
You're a New Orleans guy, as am I, and most of the audience. And, you know, we used to go to nine churches. I don't know if that's a uniquely New Orleans thing, is it?
It is, pretty much. I don't know of any other places where it's as popular as it is here. And just going from one church to the next, and a time of meditation, a time to reflect on the passion and the death of Christ.
And then somebody texted in, how do you reconcile fasting and abstinence with family crawfish boils? And you and I have had this conversation before, because you got the communal part there, right, of the family getting together, which is love, which Jesus would want, but yet it's a sacred day as well. How do you reconcile all that?
Quite frankly, it's a little bit hard for me to do that, and this is not meant in any way to be judgmental. Those families who have that kind of gathering, you know, God bless them. I'm just not sure that that's what Jesus had in mind. I'm not sure that that's the spirit of what Good Friday is. However, let me say this, that if a family decides to do it, that's certainly their right to do so. I would hope that besides doing that, they would have spent some time in prayer. I would hope that they would go to church for the Stations of the Cross or for the liturgy. So it's, you know, if they're going to do one, it's not one or the other. It's both. And so I remember as a kid, as you do, Tommy, probably. I mean, on Good Friday, we couldn't look at TV. We had to be quiet around the house.
Absolutely.
We had to read the scriptures. And, you know, that's part of what formed me as a child and as a Christian. So I think it's a day that is supposed to be quiet, a day that it's supposed to be reflective. And if people choose those other things, I would hope that they don't lose the solitude and the seriousness of the day.
You don't want to get caught in my house on Good Friday with the TV on, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to draw you into politics, but I saw a tweet today I thought was pretty interesting. That if you go to Passover 3,000 years from now, if you go to Christianity 2,000 years from now, nobody's going to remember the Mueller report, but we'll still be celebrating Passover and we'll still be celebrating Good Friday and Easter. And I guess in terms of the division in the country, how would you go about healing that? Or do you think we ever will heal?
I hope so. I find the division in our country very, very sad. I don't think it's of God. Wherever there is that much disunity in it, sometimes hatred and belligerence, that cannot be of God. And it needs to be healed. And I think, you know, this might be very, very idealistic, but the only way is for all of us to become a bit more humble, to listen to one another, and that we don't have to be right. We don't have to win the argument, that there's something about the community being able to solve things. But politics today has just become, in my mind, so hateful and name-calling, belligerent.
And intolerant.
And intolerant. We need to chill out and say, you know, there are issues that are for the good of the community. It's not whether I'm right or wrong. It's for the good of the community. How can we make the United States and the people in the United States a more wholesome people?
This may be secular, not religious, but in a way it could be. I think we all have to lie on our back sometimes and look up at the stars and realize how we think it's all about us, but really in the big picture, how significant, insignificant it is. Not that we're not important to God, but just in terms of being right about this or being right about that.
Precisely. And we're all, and that's the other thing, we're all important to God, which means God loves each one of us in a unique way, calls us by name, which should give us the invitation and the power to respect others.
Wait, are you saying God loves Democrats? I'm just kidding.
Of course.
Archbishop, I wish you a blessed Good Friday and a happy Easter.
Same to you, Tommy. God bless.
Thank you, sir, for your time as always.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.